Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce Broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on AWFradio.com. You miss a show, just go to AWFradio.com. Let's go to line number one right now and welcome back to the show, Dorsey Hager of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Twitter handle is BuildCentral. O-H, and you're supposed to say I-O.
I-O. How are you doing, Flash? How was your holiday?
It was wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful. And I'll tell you, I am just blown away by the weather that we've been experiencing. I'm looking at parts of the country. I think it was North Dakota, Minnesota, piles of snow. About a month ago, you saw North Carolina with 19 inches of snow. Here in northeastern Ohio, and I'm sure in your area, it's like spring. It's like springtime.
Downright balmy for the month of January. It makes me worried if we're going to get hit late, like in March or early April now. But I'll enjoy it for now. You know, I was listening to you read the senior senator's email about Trump, and a couple things that come to mind is one, I travel a lot, obviously, and fly a lot, and I'm not sure how good I feel about airport security, knowing that the people in charge have not been paid in a couple of weeks.
I hear you, brother. It's really scary. It's really scary.
It is. It is. And the second thing is it any shock or surprise that a president who made his money on building and development and stiffing contractors and subcontractors, I think I saw a stat the other day that one of his projects in Atlantic City, there was 26 subcontractors that filed for bankruptcy that he failed to pay on that project. Is there any shock that now that he's in the Oval Office, he's continuing the same habits that he continued in that he did in the private sector? You know, they say past performance is a predictor of future performance, and I think that's been totally true with this president in his first 2 years in office.
Yeah, there's a lot of contractors in America that went out of business because they dealt with Trump. And he has a record, a track record of, you know what, I don't really like the work that you did, so I'm not going to pay you. You can take me to court if you wish. And a lot of those settlements, they often settle out of court and they're not being disclosed. But there's a bunch of them out there. It's really sad. And how do you run a country like this when you shut down the government? I mean, it makes no sense.
I don't know. It's absolutely crazy. You're right. It makes no sense. None at all.
Okay, let's talk about Ohio politics. You got to help me out on this. I was reading over the holidays, they had a vote on the new speaker, but hardly anybody showed up.
Yeah, so a lot's been written in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Columbus Dispatch, and it kind of all started a couple of weeks ago where a lot of the building trade unions and a lot of the private sector unions have been doing outreach to Democrats and friends of ours that are in the House or that are going to be in the House starting Monday, January 7th, and discussing the speaker's race. And the big thing with organized labor and the building trades is when Larry Householder was speaker the first time around, he promised us there would be no attacks on prevailing wage. You know, we were a few years removed from 1997 when prevailing wage was removed from the schools. But he promised us there would be no attacks on prevailing wage and a right-to-work bill would not see the light of day. And he held his promise when he was speaker. So we had a few years there of labor peace. So when he came back to the state house, he made it abundantly clear to his colleagues and to his friends in organized labor that he wanted to reclaim the speaker's gavel. And, you know, again, you know, past performance is a predictor of future performance. His wife's a school teacher. His son's an IBEW member. His other son's an operating engineer, member of the operating engineers local. So he believes in unions. He believes in the middle class. He believes in what we do. He believes in an honest day pay, you know, honest day's wages for an honest day's work and fringes and pensions and all that, because mm-hmm. he doesn't want our members and members of the state of Ohio to be subservient to the government and be living off the government. He wants them to go out and earn their own living. And he wants to make sure that there's no attacks on those people that are trying to do that. And he's made that promise to us. So our promise to him was we were going to do everything we could to help him reclaim the speaker's gavel. And we've done that. So a good friend of mine and one of our delegates here in Columbus, President Pat Hook, you know, he started doing his outreach and You know, he made some phone calls to some of our local elected Democrats, and Cleveland Plain Dealer picked up on that and called him and interviewed him. And he says, well, yeah, he says, common sense, no brainer. He says, not that we, you know, not that we have anything against Ryan Smith or anything like that, but we have a friend that wants to be the speaker and has promised us that there will be no anti-worker legislation. He's pro-union, pro-organized labor. Is he a little, not in stride with some social issues? Yeah, but our job is to work for our members and to look out for their best interests, and I think that's what a lot of us across the state of Ohio are trying to do.
So where are we? We're going to have another vote then on this situation?
So what you were talking about was the caucus met, which historically the leadership, which is the Republicans who are in control of the House in the next session, they usually meet, they have a vote, usually the plurality of who gets the most votes in the caucus, then the caucus will decide to support that person, and then they'll go in on the first day of session and they'll elect that speaker. Well, the most senior member of the House, which I can't remember his first name, but it's Representative Butler, who is a householder guy and he's a householder ally. It's up to him to call for that vote while they were in lame duck, which was last week. He refused to call for that vote. So some Republicans on their own got together, called for that caucus vote. The Ryan Smith faction of the party showed up and obviously voted for Ryan Smith, and the Larry householder faction of the party obviously didn't even attend. So there was no, really nothing proactive that took place. So January 7th, we're going to have a vote for speaker. I know that Larry householder's going to run. I know Ryan Smith's going to run, and we'll see if the Democrats put anybody up. I'm not sure if they will. And, the rules are the same as we saw this summer. You have to get a majority, which is 50 votes. If you don't get 50 votes, you keep voting until somebody gets 50 votes, or the 11th vote, which happened last summer, is a plurality, and then the new speaker is elected. So January 7th, I think I'm going to grab my iPad. I'm going to grab my notebook. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to find a comfortable seat, sit in the balcony, and watch democracy take place, I guess.
There you go.
I know.
Yeah, when I read that story, I'm like, wait a minute. This just doesn't make any sense. I mean, they staged a vote and not enough people there, so they essentially the vote didn't count, and they're going to redo this on Monday then. All right.
Yeah.
Moving on here, what's this story that is concerning me? You and I have talked for, my gosh, years now about the labor shortage with the trades. And now, and now I'm reading that because of that, costs are starting to go up. What do we know about this right now?
So I'm going to tell you what I've read about the report, and then I'm going to tell you my opinion. So a lot of what I've read in the report, and I don't have a lot of the facts and figures in front of me, but basically the AGC did a statewide survey surveying their general contractors and members of the AGC, which there's a lot of heavy highway contractors, a lot of contractors like that. And they basically asked them the question, will you be hiring in 2019? Which, that's a way of asking if they're going to be busy. Almost every contractor said absolutely they were going to be hiring in 2019. So then they asked them, about the labor shortage, and they said, yes, there's a shortage of labor. And 88% of them said that because of that labor shortage, they were having to pay increases to attract workers, and that was going to increase costs. Well, you and I have talked about this on the show. Roughly 22% of all job projects deals with labor. Every customer, every end user that I've been speaking to, and I've been speaking to a lot of them the last couple of weeks because of all the work that we've talked about in your show in the past in Central Ohio, has not been concerned about labor. They've asked me, we've been able to supply labor, we'll continue to supply skilled labor, and we'll do that for their projects. So their concern hasn't been labor. Their concern has been the Trump tariffs and the cost increases that are taking place on steel, on aluminum and stuff like that. That's where they're fearful, and that's where they may see the potential increases in project costs. And, when you budget and design a project in 2018, then you put it out for bid in 2019, and then it's constructed in 2020 and 21, that's a 4 to 5 year, kind of like a shelf life, I guess you would say, and you're going to see material costs go up. The goal is to try to see how much those material costs go up, and hopefully they don't go up too much. Labor costs, another thing about the survey is, of course, like I said, the AGC was saying that a lot of contractors were having to increase wages to go out and attract workers. You know, that's the benefit of union labor and our building trades agreements, whether it's project labor agreements or just our basic collective bargaining agreements. You know, our costs are built in. A signatory contractor knows what his or her costs are going to be this year, next year, and for every year for the life of the agreement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's what, you know, we talked about this when we were dealing with the Honda PLA at the paint booth expansion project. I talked to an engineer from Honda, and he's like, Dorsey, he's like, you got to explain this to me. He's like, we have open shop contractors that regularly do work in here at Honda, and some of your union contractors, which I know pay their workers more than these open shop contractors, are beating some of these open shop contractors every day. How are they doing that? And I said, well, one, it's productivity. I said, working smarter, working harder, productivity. I said, but two, I said, they're having to, you know, they don't have any cost analysis looking forward because they don't have contracts with their workers. So they're going to their workers because their workers are maybe threatening to leave or even leaving to go for greener pastures, you know, and they're having to go to their workers and say, hey, man, I need you to stay here. I've got this job. What's it going to take? $4 an hour, $5 an hour? So it's hard for them to build in their cost increases because they don't know what those increases are going to be. And what are they going to do? They're going to pass that on the customer. They're going to pass that on the consumer. And that increases job cost. You know, again, with a signatory contractor and with our agreements, our costs are built in. You know, our contractors right now are looking at projects in Central Ohio that maybe may not break ground until 2022, 2023. And a lot of them have a very good idea because either they're still going to be in the collective bargaining agreement or the history of the collective bargaining agreements in the past, they know what their costs are going to be already, which I think is an incredible advantage. And I think it's a good selling point for us to use when we go to the customer.
Sure. Makes a whole lot of sense to me. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about the trades. And apparently now this trades fair is coming up, or it was did it take place already?
Coming up.
It's coming up?
Yeah, coming up, January 31st, yeah.
Okay, we'll get into that. Dorsey Hager on our live line. He is Executive Director of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council, columbusconstruction.org. Also, Russ Choma will be joining us on behalf of Mother Jones Magazine. Interesting story about Trump and a German bank. It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes.
The AFL-CIO is a proud sponsor of America's Workforce Radio. United by efforts to raise wages, listeners to this show and workers all across America are beginning to turn a corner and drive the economic debate. The AFL-CIO is comprised of 12.5 million working people from 56 unions, but we stand with and fight for everyone who is working for a better life. For more information about our raising wages agenda, go to aflcio.org.
For decades, America's workforce has held corporations and the 1% accountable. We've regulated banks to keep your retirement secure. We've kept communities safe from dangerous chemicals. We made sure workers have the right to organize. We've kept your job site safe and clear from hazardous conditions. We've been there for you, so be there for us. Learn more at afge.org.
You won't find more comprehensive coverage of the issues most important to Ohio's labor trades than in the pages of the Labor Citizen. The full-color tabloid is delivered to thousands of union construction workers each month, providing reports from local unions, interesting feature stories, and news that impacts Ohio's union construction industry. But the only way this valuable monthly publication can be delivered to your mailbox is if your local union decides to join. If your building trades union membership is not receiving the Labor Citizen, ask why at your next regular meeting, or send an email to info@laborcitizen.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back to America's Workforce, broadcast from Ohio for workers around the entire world and archived on awfradio.com. Let's go back to our live line and rejoin Dorsey Hager on behalf of the Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. All right, Dorsey, talk to me about this Construction Trades Fair, which you said is going to happen at the end of this month. Where is it going to be? Give me all the details on it.
January 31st at Fort Hays Career Center, which is the Vocational Technical Center for the Columbus City School District. Centrally located, right, very close to downtown Columbus. It's going to be January 31st, 4 to 7 p.m. This will be our fourth year having this Construction Trades Career Fair. Mayor Ginther, when he was first elected, obviously, from his time on the school board, his time as president of the city council, and then running for mayor, he understands the importance of organized labor in the middle class here in Columbus and Central Ohio. He's a huge advocate and proponent for apprenticeships and pre-apprenticeships, and also the continued diversification of our workforce, getting people of color and females into our programs, either through Building Futures or through our apprenticeship programs. So one of the things that he's been doing, and we've been working closely with him, is on outreach events. The Construction Trades Career Fair was a brainchild of his, where we partner up with Columbus City Schools. We blanket the school district to students, their parents, through report cards, through emails, even an online video that the president of City Council, Shannon Harden, did, which you can view on our website and also on Facebook and Twitter at BuildCentralOH. But just an outreach to everybody in the community, not only middle school students who want to see what the careers and the trades are, and high school students who are looking at what to do after high school, but also their parents. You know, we get a lot of parents that bring their middle school and high school kids that are 28, 30, 32, 34 years old that are looking for a better career opportunity, and they come in and they get to talk to members from each and every one of our trades. They get to talk to me about the building trades programs as a whole. They get to talk to Leland Bass, our guy at Impact, who's our partner with Building Futures, about pre-apprenticeships. And they can look and see what interests them. They can even mix a little mortar. They can pour a little concrete. They can strike an arc, do a little welding. They can bend a little conduit, some electrical stuff, get their hands dirty, do a little hands-on. And they just get to spend some time with our people and get to see what the building trades is all about. Discuss some of the positive things, you know, about the middle class wages, the fringe benefits, the pension, the annuity, the health care for the family. And I think it's a great outreach event. It's a good selling point. Last year, I think the total was about 325 people that we had come through the doors in those 3 hours. So I think this year is going to be bigger and this year is going to be better. And it's something that we're going to continue to do annually with the partnership of Mayor Ginther and the mayor's office, and also Begin Cleary and Columbus City Schools. So it's a great thing that we're doing, and it's great for the community. And it's also a great benefit to our programs as well.
Man, it's badly needed. I remember so many times you're telling me about what's going on down there in the Columbus Central Ohio area when it comes to new construction and big projects. The last time we had you on the show, you were talking about, what was it, the soccer stadium, and they had to work details out by the end of the year. Where are we with that right now?
City Attorney Zach Klein, Governor-elect Mike DeWine was huge on that, but nobody was bigger than Mayor Andrew Ginther. He was the one that a year ago, he and Alex Fisher, the head of the Columbus 2020 here, they were flying to MLS, and they were meeting with that commissioner from MLS, and they were meeting with Anthony Precourt, and of course Alex Fisher and his long history with the Haslam family. He reached out to Dee and Jimmy Haslam. Dr. Edwards, who's been the team doctor here since the crew started in 96, Dr. Edwards and the Haslams partnered up, and it had to be finalized by the last day of the year, and right under the wire on New Year's Eve, they got it finalized. So they're going to redevelop Moffray Stadium, which is the soccer stadium now, which was the first soccer-specific stadium built in North America for an MLS team, as the Columbus Crew is the original MLS team. They're going to redevelop Moffray Stadium to make it into the Columbus Sports Park. So there's going to be soccer fields. There's going to be other fields. There's going to be space there for kids to do different things, which is going to be great, because about a quarter of the city's population lives within a five-minute walk of Moffray Stadium. So that's going to be huge. And before they redevelop Moffray Stadium, they're going to build a brand new soccer-only stadium downtown west of Huntington Park, where the Clippers, the AAA affiliate of the Cleveland Indians, play. And they're going to build a brand new soccer stadium down there just for the Columbus Crew. It's going to be beautiful. So when all's said and done with the Moffray Stadium renovation, the new Columbus Crew Stadium, the Confluence Park development around the new Crew Stadium, I think we're looking at about $800 to $850 million construction dollars spent. And then with all the money that Dr. Edwards and the Haslams have put in to keep the Columbus Crew in Columbus, I think it's been a great thing. So very appreciative of all the work of Mayor Ginther, City Attorney Zach Klein, Governor-elect Mike DeWine. One person I forgot also who's a big friend of organized labor, but outgoing state rep Mike Duffy, who cited the Modell law, which got the ball rolling to start to sue to keep the crew here, which was very interesting. So, and Alex Fisher also, I mean, his commitment to to keeping the crew here has been tremendous. So I think it's a huge asset for the community. And it's ironic because I just had a letter to the editor published today in the Columbus Dispatch kind of talking about those efforts and Mayor Ginther's commitment to use a community benefit agreement on the renovation of Moffray Stadium. Just shows his commitment to not only the working people of Columbus and Central Ohio, but also his commitment to use local skilled labor and the continued diversification of our workforces. So hats off to all those guys, but it's been a huge win. But, yeah, that's right. We talked about that last month, and right under the wire they got it done. So it was kind of, you know, I know you're a huge Browns fan, as am I. We talk about the Browns all the time, and I still can remember in 96 watching that happen, and I would have hated to see that happen again, especially to a team that's here in my hometown.
Yeah, what almost was a disaster turns into an $850 million project. That's amazing to me. Just amazing.
It is amazing, and it's like the mayor and Alex Fisher said, it's the Columbus way. It's a public-private partnership. It's people from all over, organized labor, the grassroots movement, you know, elected officials on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats. You know, it's just, it's been incredible. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is just me talking. I'm not talking as the head of the building trades. I'm talking me personally now, so I don't want somebody to retweet this or whatever and say, well, Dorsey Hager from the, you know, said. But I really see when they get this done with the Columbus Sports Park, we already have Ohio State close. We already have Ohio Dominican. And I love Berea, and nothing against Berea, and I hope the Cleveland Browns training camp stays there. But I think the Haslams will use this to their benefit to maybe come down for a week, come down for a training camp. They've had preseason games at Ohio Stadium in the past, and I think they'll do that to continue to grow the Browns brand here in Central Ohio because, you know, you and I have talked about this, as terrible as it is. The last couple of years with the Browns not being that good, you know, and a lot of transplants or implants or whatever coming to Columbus, the Steeler brand has really grown. The Bengals, you know, have grown as well. So, you know, when I was growing up, it was all Browns in Central Ohio. That's kind of left a little bit. And mm-hmm. I think that they're going to utilize their investment here in Columbus and the community to try to grow that Cleveland Browns brand in Columbus. So I think it's going to be a benefit for everybody.
I think you're right on that one. All right. Yeah. Good news to start off 2019. I like that.
Excellent. Very good news. And maybe the best news of all. Did we get a quarterback? I think we found a quarterback.
I think we did. And we've got people that actually catch the ball, too. It's amazing.
Exactly. I mean, I'm so excited about this team heading into 19. I think we have our quarterback. If he stays healthy out of this draft, we got our shutdown corner and Denzel Ward, who I think has outperformed, you know, what everybody thought he was going to do. Myles Garrett from last year. I mean, this team is very impressive. Nick Chubb. I mean, Dorsey seems to be making all the right moves.
Yep, he does.
He really does. It's exciting times. Exciting times.
All right, my friend, we're going to leave it on that note. Dorsey Hager, Columbus Central Ohio Building and Construction Trades Council. We'll talk to you in a month. So you take care. Keep up the fight down there, my brother. All right?
You too. Have a good weekend, Flash. Thanks.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. While we come back, as I indicated at the top of the show, Russ Chomo will be joining us. This is a heck of a story about Trump's connections to a real shady German bank. Also, what's going on with the Saudis? It's all part of America's workforce. Back in a few minutes. Don't go away.